And the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus also was invited. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are perhaps somewhat astonished at the fact that our Lord was present at the marriage feast in Cana. It is truly wonderful that our Lord, who practiced mortification to such a heroic degree, who gave us such an example of the penitential life, should at the very beginning of his public career visit a marriage feast. It was that same Jesus who had just completed his fast of 40 days and nights, and who afterwards said, "Take up your cross and follow me," who went as an invited guest to this banquet, at which it is usual to find such joyfulness, where language is sometimes unrestrained, where modesty is often not observed, especially in this our day, where temperance in eating and drinking are not to be found. But our Lord wished to be there at this wedding to approve of the holiness of marriage, to show that it is a great sacrament, and at the same time to show that only that marriage is holy and pleasing to God, where, at least in the hearts of the assembled guests, Jesus and Mary are to be found. Such a marriage is under his special protection and will receive his divine blessing. It is certain that at this feast there were those who were good and simple, and that there would be no disorder. One author says that our Lord even organized some of the games and entertainments at the feast. Had it been one of those meetings which the worldly and dissolute of the world attend, our Lord and his Blessed Virgin would not have been there. We ourselves should be cautious when attending parties or events that could put our souls in danger. Keep watch over your eyes and over your thoughts, and above all, be temperate. The guests were reclining at the feast, and as it was going on, it was noticed that the wine was giving out. Mary soon observed this, and in order that the newly married couple should be spared the shame of making known their poverty, she turned to our Lord and said to him, "They have no wine." Mary is really the mother of providence. If she was so concerned about the wine, how much more anxious will she be about our own spiritual needs? Mary has such a tender heart, she will surely feel for us afflicted with such evils. She will help and console us, defend us against the infernal enemy, and throw her mantle over us. But if we expect to find this help from Mary, we must honor and love her and be her tender and devout children. Mary once said to a youth who was praying, "I feel a little comfort from your prayers, for you keep impurity in your heart." Never offend the purest of virgins by committing an act of impurity, but if you do fall into this, do not shy away from her, for she is more desirous of bringing you back to the good graces of her Son than you are of returning. Think of her often, and when you go into the church, pray to her. She is there near the tabernacle, for where Jesus is, there also is his mother. If you have no devotion to her and are careless about her, it seems as if you say to her, "Forget me, O Mother, I am going to follow the world. I will not be bothered with the thought of you in the future." And when no more graces come to you, then be not surprised, for you are going away from God. Thomas of Kempis, the author of The Imitation of Christ, when a child had the habit of saying every day a certain prayer in honor of Our Lady, but by carelessness he forgot it once and then twice, and then after a while he never thought of it anymore. Our Lady, who on her part loved this young Thomas, appeared to him one night in a dream. He dreamed that he was with some companions, and the Blessed Virgin Mary was there with them, and she was very kind and affable to all of his friends. But when she approached him, who thought that he would receive some signs of love from her as well, she said, "Why do you expect a sign of love from me? Have you not forgotten me?" Then the vision or dream was over, but it made such a great impression on his mind, that he began his devotions again and was careful to not omit them in the future. Mary, in the Gospel, having told Jesus that the wine was out, he answered, "Woman, what is it to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come." If this answer had been given to any of us, we surely would have despaired of having our petition granted. But Mary did not think so. She was, in fact, sure that he was going to work the miracle, for she went to the servants and told them to do everything he commanded. Did our Lord wish to seem harsh to his mother and not listen to her prayer? He was not harsh nor disrespectful, for immediately, though his hour had not yet come, he heard her prayer. Our Lord does the same to us. Often, he seems to not hear our prayers, and in fact, he acts as if he did not want to hear them. But he does hear them, and often gives a great deal more than we have asked for. God does his work of kindness to men in the same way that he wants us to do our works of charity, quietly and in secret, so that the left hand may not know what the right hand does. Sometimes, however, he may not hear our prayer for the simple reason that we do not pray in the right manner. We must pray with attention. Our whole soul must be on the subject of our prayer, at least as far as we can manage this. We must pray with unlimited confidence in God's power. At the same time, it is always good to add a little prayer that God may keep you free from sin, which is the greatest gift he can give you. By adding this to your other petitions, your prayer will seem less selfish, and God will grant you much for this consideration. We see the example of the long-continued prayer in the life of Saint Monica, who prayed for the conversion of her son. The more she prayed, the deeper he seemed to fall into heresy and sin, but Saint Monica followed him everywhere with motherly love and continued her prayers. At last she was heard, but she obtained a great deal more than she had asked for. Not only was Saint Augustine baptized, but he shortly afterwards was made a priest and then a bishop. Saint Monica had only asked for his conversion, but this was too little for God, who had heard her prayer, and he prepared the way for greater gifts and graces. Saint Augustine became the scourge of heretics, a column of the church, a doctor, teaching all nations, and a great saint. The prayer of Saint Monica was well made. From this, you can form a very good idea how prayers should be said. Now, at the wedding feast of Cana, there were 6 large stone water pots. Our Lord then said to the servants, "Fill the pots with water," and they filled them to the brim. And then he said, "Take some of the water to the master of the servers and let him taste." The water had been made wine at that instant. They were astonished. It was a remarkable miracle. The wine was even better than that which they had before. Our Lord worked this miracle at the prayer of the Blessed Virgin for the consolation of a poor family. For the happiness of good people, he worked his first miracle and manifested his divine power. It was the custom in those days to give the best wine first and then, as the Gospel says, when men had well drunk, that which was poorer. The world does this. It gives us pleasures and honors and riches in our youth, But at the end of life, when we see that we have lost so much time, the bad wine of sorrow and regret is served. That will be the bitter wine, perhaps of repentance, perhaps of despair. But for those who strive to do the will of God, our Lord reserves at the end of life the wine of happiness, the memory of our communions, our devotion to Our Lady, and what we have suffered for Jesus. In peace, we will close our eyes to the light of this world to open them to the brightness of paradise. Be not fond of the wine of the world, but follow our Lord and Savior, who will give us the spiritual wine of divine consolation. When the world shall have left us, Jesus alone will remain with us, and that will be all that we can desire. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.